following message was given maybe 10 years ago at Starkey Union Church in California. It was very well received and might be of use in other churches, so I'm using it today. You probably have heard repercussions of this sermon before. At a General Assembly, Union President Bill Sinkford announced that he would like to see the re-entrance of words of reverence into our Unitarian Universalist services. To me, this did not seem like a very controversial idea, but I found later that many were astonished, shocked, and dismayed. Boston Globe headlined their coverage of the General Assembly with reference to this as a bombshell. What a bizarre concept. Words of reverence spoken in a church. What's the world coming to? I believe that our faith, whether in humankind or in God, or whatever that concept might mean to us, is wide enough and deep enough to accommodate the entire spectrum of belief and non-belief. And I think we need to be unafraid to allow others to express their own visions without feeling a sense of not belonging or even alienation in a UU church. This church's membership consists of atheists, believing Christians, pagans, Jews, agnostics, Muslim believers, Buddhists, humanists, and more. Probably some I've left out. And not everyone here, probably no one, is completely comfortable with everything we do and say. Some are personally uncomfortable with some of the traditional hymns we sing, and I've heard those comments before. Others might question some of the political positions we take, and I've heard those comments before. Some of the people and organizations with whom we ally ourselves, we proclaim diversity. We embrace our differences. Where else can we disagree? Not only with each other, but the very precepts of our church. We need to decide before becoming advocates whether we are interested in growing. And since I've been here for 25 years, I've heard that comment. We don't want to get too large. Let's stay small. And others want to grow. The truth is, if this church does not grow, I'm not talking about this building, this congregation, but across the world, it will cease to exist in a few years. Yet there is reluctance for some of us. It sometimes seems to me that we may be practicing a novel brand of elitism. And I think I mentioned the last time I made a presentation that a priest in St. John's Lutheran Church in Lunenburg, a beautiful place, he said, if we soon don't begin to grow, we're going to be nothing but a museum. And I think many other churches, as you know, are ending up like that. There are many progressive institutions for whom you share belief. But if we are to be a church, I suggest we not be frightened by religious language or thought. And we should be tolerant of parts of our credo with which we disagree. I believe if we eliminated everything that somebody objected to, nothing would remain. I don't like some of those things. I don't like Joyce and Sawyer's. I don't want to hear political talk. We all have our likes and dislikes. So with all this wonderful diversity, how do we become advocates for Unitarian Universalism? Have you found it difficult to make a real effort to bring others into this church? I believe that this religion has the potential to save the world. Further, believe that there are many of who, if they knew us, wouldn't praise us. And I often think if I were younger, I'd like to start a UU church in Bridgewater so I wouldn't have to travel an hour back and forth. But I'm too old for that. I have believed in UU principles much of my life, yet I didn't come here until about 35 years ago, till I heard Beth Miller on the radio talking. I have to hear that woman. And I came at night to hear that woman. But that was another church. So I didn't hear that woman. So So then I had to start coming in the morning. Because at the night church, it wasn't the church I wanted to hear again. It was the church, the type of church I was leading. Not everyone would be comfortable as a member of this church. And I don't think the reasons are really that obscure. Recently, an old friend asked me about the tenets of my faith. I handed him a copy of our seven principles. He mused over them for a few minutes and looked up at me with a quizzical expression. I don't see any reference to God. Doesn't your church have a belief in God? I tried to explain that UUism accepts everyone's ability to define their own personal concept of God or to reject it outright. It was a learning experience. So some of my friends, what do? Who do you talk to? You don't have a God. I realized after some period of introspection that there were a number of reasons it would be much easier if UU shared identical beliefs, but we don't. And that lack of dogma, while a strength for us, does not lend itself to easy explanations. We are the simplest religion you can imagine. But we are one of the most complex religions you can imagine. Many are familiar with the term UU, but there exists a lack of knowledge about who we are. Confusion galore. We are part of the Unification Church. We are part of the Unity Church. We are the late 20th century cult. We are the Universalist Life Church, and on and on. While as a church we are none of these, we welcome here many who are. I have heard, I don't know about your religion. You people really don't believe anything you do. You don't believe in anything, do you? On another occasion, the Unitarian Universalists seem to profess belief in everything. You celebrate Christmas. You celebrate Easter. You celebrate the summer solstice. Paganism. The Jewish holy days. It is sometimes difficult to preach a liberal and open religion. Dogmatic principles are easier. And the very precepts of UUism is to respect the beliefs of others. So what do I do? What do we do? I think we should face a few facts before we decide to whom we should be talking. UUism, unlike many religions, is a life-based faith. Life-based. Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and to a lesser degree Buddhism are, at the risk of being brutally blunt and politically incorrect, death-based religions. I know some in our church believe in an afterlife. Many don't. Many who simply have come to the conclusion that they don't know and cannot know. Then they get on with their lives. We do what we do here because of what happens on this planet during our lives, or if we're lucky, how our efforts might favorably impact the world after we're gone. But UUism has no point system, no roadmap to eternal bliss. Getting a person who believes in that roadmap to come explore our questioning faith can be a formidable task. I remember when I was young, he said, if you live in Quebec and could convert someone to Catholicism, you could point towards going to heaven. I don't think they would talk that way now. But many churches don't talk that way. But some still do. The roadmap to become explore our questioning faith can be a formidable task. It's a selling point that death-based religions have over our life, faith-based faith. And it is a subject that always comes up. I've had discussions with a friend of mine. He was a sincere church-going Christian at that time of my life, was a latent and unaware universalist. I often think of my own life, I was a universalist Unitarian before I found a church home. It began when he was spreading his gospel and thought my soul might be worth saving. I still have family members who think my life is worth saving. And I can think, when I'm on my deathbed, please stay away. And explaining my discomfort with the notion that one must suspend rational thinking to accept faith, the dialogue was joined. I didn't realize it then, but I was taking a very you approach. Months later, my friend told me, "You've helped me examine my belief systems to hold them up to my sense of reason. I liked my faith as it was. It was comforting and reassuring. I knew that whatever happened to me, by just having faith, I would realize an eternal and better life later. Now I don't have that certainty. Maybe I would have come to these conclusions on my own, but I resent you led me to this." The founder of the Red Cross was a Unitarian. Martin Luther King flirted with Unitarianism, but he and his wife decided we could never get a mass crowd with Unitarianism. We're not big enough. We're not wide enough. Not enough people. Barack Obama had a background in Unitarianism. The founder of the Red Cross was a Unitarian. Emerson and Thoreau were Unitarians. This is part of our heritage, and I, for one, am proud to be a beneficiary of it, and proud and honored to share it with others. While it may seem implausible, I think we can speak to those who are affiliated with other churches, mosques, or synagogues. While we do not systematically offer the assurances of the threats of death-based religions, we certainly can spread our own good news. Established members of this community, our minister has participated in ecumenical service for several years, and I think he still does. And I know I do in Bridgewater. And yesterday I worked with Boodle's 200 at the Anglican Church to serve a strawberry supper. And I attend other events with all of the churches. And it seems like when we're together, all of the churches, the creeds and doctrines are in the background. And we just get along each other, love each other. Not a problem. I'm having trouble turning my pages. I must admit that I was uncomfortable assisting in helping this man examine what must be a most comfortable set of beliefs. But I made two mistakes. My friend's mind was his to change, and likely have come to this on his own. In hindsight, it is a mistake to tell people that they must discard their ideas of faith, God, and profession of ties to their religious roots. I'm reading a book, The Atheist Muslim, and I read about Muslims in North America who, much like many Christians in North America, they sort of become the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. They don't really have a church attachment anymore. Go wherever they like, but don't follow a creed or a doctrine. They sound like UUs. People of other faiths, they must discard ideas about faith and God and profession of ties to their religious roots if they choose to. A mistake that will put us in the same boat as those religions that dictate to people exactly how they should believe. I don't want to be in that boat. If I could revise that friend, maybe I would tell him that I really don't think his former beliefs are incompatible with Unitarian Universalism. Hopefully he would discover that later. While they would like to tell us otherwise, I don't believe the ultra-Orthodox fundamentalist religionists are in the majority. While the fastest growing religious segments may be the most dogmatic, and they vote in the United States for you-know-who, a bulwark of certainty in an uncertain world, and maybe a comfort in our complex society, they tend to stifle one of the most basic human qualities, a questioning curiosity. Many attend church to have it. And I read that for my own failures. I don't know, I don't sort of believe what they say. Abortion, sex before marriage, anti-gay, trying to make them something they aren't. I don't believe that, but I go because it's family. Many others have eschewed any religious attachment, perhaps willing to throw the baby out with the bathwater. And those people might find a spiritual home here. I don't think we can afford to take the provincial and elitist position that we don't need to reach out to others, that we want to restrict membership to those whose belief only mirror our own. And what are those beliefs? We don't project a single surface mirror. Our beliefs are like the multifaceted prisms of a diamond. And if we insist on uniformity, we will be practicing exactly the same dogmatic behavior as those who say, this is how we should believe, and this is how you should. No, you must believe. We have all the answers, and we'll teach you. And aren't we sometimes being just as rigid in not accepting others' ideas? Aren't we secure enough to listen to the words of reverence, God, faith, spirit, without it representing a threat to whatever personal views we might have? One of this church's members describes himself as an atheist, yet he has a notion that since man created God, every face he sees is, in fact, the face of God. He interprets God in this way, and he has no fear that the word will somehow bite him. Could there be a more deep and profound UU statement? It wouldn't be nice for some of these immigrants and all their challenges down south if we could look in them and see the face of God. We UUs don't hold out the guarantee of eternal paradise. It's a selling point we don't have. But it's compelling. Wouldn't you like to come here and I could tell you, you go to heaven, you do this? Just ask me, I'll tell you. And sooner or later, it is a subject that comes up. I have an answer to what I at least believe about the hereafter. I'm completely in favor of it. But if everything I do is simply to ensure my personal eternal bliss, I would have to question whether my deeds are from my heart, to further the world to live in, or simply to save my own mortal butt. What we do offer is a faith which nurtures and liberates the mind. And if there is a God, he or she is applauding, they are using the gift of reason with which we were provided. No, we do not offer the guarantee of personal eternal life, but neither do we threaten eternal damnation. Now when the subject of religion comes up, I arm myself with the seven principles. A list of historical people who are, as my belief in this insurgent movement, this faith which could save the world. I find myself more and more willing to proclaim my commitment. I believe that if people will explore UUism, they will learn that it does not seek to negate their beliefs, but it may cause the holder of those beliefs to examine theirs. This UU faith does not take away. It can enrich. It can add. It may foster introspection and evaluation in its adherents, but it does not take away. UUism, if we are at all cognizant of the origins and meanings of our name, eschew the minus sign and embrace the plus sign. I believe that we all have some sort of belief system that draws us to this church. Yet at the same time, we seem reluctant to spread the news to our potentially earth-saving faith. How many people you shall associate with outside of the church are aware of your affiliation? I am not suggesting that the workplace is an appropriate forum to be passing out literature or lighting a challenge. The only way I probably don't act right when I'm in the public eye, remember, is in the office as vice principal of teacher at school, I used to often going about my work and I'd be singing hymns. But I gave them a sort of a modern version that wasn't always acceptable to my Baptist friends. Actions such as these are all wrong. When we do them, as when others seek to put religious icons in our schools and courthouses. No, we don't do that. But when matters of faith arise, let's not shrink. When someone asks you about how you spent Christmas, or Ramadan, or Yom Kippur, don't hedge. Realize that you have the great gift of a life-based religion to share. And maybe, just maybe, someone you know is thirsting for such a faith. Most of us have had various religions solicit us from door to door at home. Respect that in their belief system. They are attempting to do us the greatest favor of our lives. I wonder when you get to visit St. Peter if he will ask you how many lives have you saved. But now when they appear, I ask them if they would like to hear about my faith. What it is, why I believe. So when the Mormons come to my door, want to talk about their faith, I said, I don't mind, come in and sit down, as long as you let me share my faith. Well, can we mow your lawn? Can we weed your garden? So last year, they would do that for me. Listen to my story, I listen to their story, and take them out to dinner for their work. Finally, this union faith of ours is powerful. It is a real faith as any other on the planet. Perhaps stronger and more powerful because it is willing and quite able to embrace, not destroy the other faiths, to fold all of them into a universal force for progress and justice. While my evangelistic efforts have not produced much up to now, it has been worth the effort. And how would I know? How much influence we've had by sharing our faith? Sometimes it doesn't take roots, like teaching high school. I had a woman at Sobeys once, and she said, thank you for helping my daughter when she was going to New Germany High School, and she was being bullied, and you helped her. Well, I wasn't aware of that. And I'm glad I did, and I think all of us, we just don't know how we influence others for the things we do. It tells me a great deal about myself, and that self knows that if this UU Church and more nationwide and worldwide UU Association can grow, it will be good, not just for us, but the entire world. This life-based religion can indeed save the world, but only if the world is aware of it. So go out and spread the good news. May it be so. Amen.